Hello world, and welcome to TYH, a podcast on TRS Radio. My name is Angle, and with me I have Nikkei.
Hello.
How are you today on a Saturday, Nikkei?
Balling, as usual.
I just want to take a moment to give respect to ginger, like the root.
The spice?
Yeah, that stuff's good. Have you had pickled ginger like they give you at sushi?
Yeah, man. That it's got like oomph to it.
Yeah, that stuff. I used to hate ginger, but now it's like my favorite thing.
Hmm. Is that true for women as well?
I don't have anything for or against gingers.
Let me ask you this. What did you see first? A ginger on TV or ginger in real life?
In real life.
Okay. Yeah, no, I definitely saw them in like cartoons before I ever seen like a picture.
Well, it's because you're in a POC community, so you don't.
Yeah. You know, I
it's like I have literal ginger family members, so it's like.
Okay. That makes sense. Yeah. But it's something that occurred to me. It's like, wow, I really saw gingers in cartoons before I saw them in like pictures or real life. It's crazy to think about, because the impression you get from cartoons is not really like anything close
to reality
when compared to like other colored people, other colors of people's hair. You know, like you can depict blonde or black or brown haired people in a cartoon, and it's pretty much the same color in real life.
Yeah.
Not so with gingers. I think the first ginger from a cartoon that I saw was like
that seems to be
Misty from Pokemon.
It seems to be a very hard color to pin, you know, to recreate with, I guess, whatever they use now, Photoshop. What do they use to make cartoons? I was going to say mark, like paint and pencil and stuff like that. It seems to be like kind of like a hard color.
Maybe.
I don't know.
But it's like, if your first impression of a ginger is Misty from Pokemon, and then you see one in real life, it's like, this isn't anything close.
I don't even know who Misty is.
What? Come on, man. You don't
Pokemon
know Star Wars,
always
and you
lame.
don't know Pokemon?
I know Pokemon. I mean, who doesn't? But I never
okay,
really
okay, if you
watched
the show.
I watched like 10 minutes once when I was like 4.
Bro, I love Pokemon show.
I know this girl. I've seen pictures of her. I just don't know her name.
Yeah, she's like one of the main characters. And
one of the first links is Missy takes off her clothes? Question mark on YouTube.com. And there's if I go on images, it's just like sexy Misty.
Oh God, that's a child in the show.
Ah, yeah, that's not good. Oh, it doesn't matter to those kind of fellas.
I'm pretty sure she's a minor.
They probably prefer it that it is a child. That's how weird those anime guys are.
Anime niggas be light.
Yeah, no.
What if the child consents? What if the image consents?
Yeah. Let's see. Does it say her age? Okay, they don't see anything.
Just type in age.
Misty Pokemon age. 10.
Oh, God.
God, these people are gross.
Sick-ass niggas out here. Y'all disgust me.
Yeah. How old is Ash?
I think he's also 10.
10.
They literally letting 10-year-olds do anything these days. It's like, oh, you want to go on like a journey where you fight wild animals against one another? All right. See you later, Mom.
Bye.
Forever. I don't have any place to stay, guaranteed, but I'll make do.
I feel like there are two holes in my youth. Like, I didn't experience like a Pokemon. I didn't have an interest in Pokemon, nor did I have an interest in Star Wars. Like, those are two things I just never interacted with, those two fandoms.
Bro, those were like product in my childhood. That was the shit. It was Pokemon, Star Wars, and Yu-Gi-Oh.
I got into Yu-Gi-Oh. I didn't really like the show. I just liked the cards.
You didn't like the show? Wow.
I really didn't like anything that wasn't Dragon Ball Z.
You really are black.
Hey.
It's like the only anime I watch is Dragon Ball Z and Naruto.
No, I didn't like Naruto. That was kind of gay.
Yeah, I don't like Naruto either. I liked one of the games, though. It was like... shit. I can't remember the title, but it was like a sort of open world Naruto, not like one of the fighter Narutos. It was good. It was fun. I liked the design and like the story was well made.
Yeah.
Anyway, I wanted to talk about like my day today because was going around my normal business, but like shit kept popping off everywhere I was, and it was nuts. It's like I was driving, and out of nowhere, like a power line just explodes twice.
What?
And there's like a whole flock of birds on the pole or on the line, and they all like, you know, the ones that aren't fried immediately all scatter. You know, I continue driving, and like some car just lets this woman out in the middle of the road, and just stays there. And the woman's like starts talking to the driver from outside of the car, like holding up the whole road of traffic because they're in the far left lane. And I'm like,
"You're always in the far right."
Yeah, well, no, I was behind them in that lane, and I couldn't believe what was going on, because it's like, why is all this weird shit happening all at once? I at that point, I'm like, I can't be out here, because something bad's still going to happen, and I should just go home, so I'm not around for it. So I get home, and I hear like a few more unidentifiable explosions in the neighborhood. I don't know if it's like just a normal thing, like a car backfire or whatever, or gunshots, who knows. But, you know, then I notice the full moon out, and I'm like, ah, that explains it. It's just day when crazy shit happens.
They're everyone, you know, lunatic. They're becoming lunatics.
Exactly.
Like the,
That's where that comes from, right?
I don't know if it's specifically a full moon, but it has to do with the moon, you know. Lunar, you know, lunatic.
Yeah, yeah.
Luna. I believe it's Latin. I'm 100% sure it's Latin.
Lunacy, yes.
Yeah. So I think people believed that the moon had some influence on...
behavior.
Yeah, and I don't know if that's true or not.
It's a superstition, but I believe it.
Yeah.
Because, you know, shit was popping off today. And you've got the full moon? All right. Okay. No, it's just a coincidence. Wrong.
I'm actually learning Latin now. And I'm like, I think I've seen this. I've seen it in, like, Spanish words, I think. But I've seen it, and I'm like, I think this is Latin. So if it's in Spanish, it's probably Latin.
Oh, yeah.
Latin's a fun language to learn.
I agree.
I'm not very deep into it, but I have this series that I use called Lingua Latina Per Se Illustrata, written by a Danishman like 60 years ago, and it's just, or something like that.
It's Why probably, are you using like old books?
Yeah, but they still have it in print because it's so good. It's like the best one. It's a very natural way of learning, because I think when you're learning a language, what the most important thing is input, like getting as much input of the language as you can, as opposed to just like sitting there and studying grammar tables. So this has like a bit of both. It has a lot of text and dialogue that you take in, and it has some grammar lessons. Oh, and it's only in Latin. There is no English or anything. And so like when you learn a word, they'll give you like, I think I talked about this before, they'll give you a synonym or something similar. Like they'll put I don't know, like, what's the word, like, polker, which means beautiful, and they'll put equals formosa, you know, which means another way of saying beautiful, or, like, I don't know what the exact translation would be. Huh. Or they'll have, like, a picture, like, here's a picture of a hand, and this is hand. I don't know what hand. Oh, it's a man, something with man in it. Man hands.
I see.
So it's very intuitive. Manus. Yeah, of course. Why? That's man. It's not just synonyms, but that's just one way. Or antonyms, too. Like, this is the opposite of beautiful. Huh. It's ugly. And it's more intuitive, but I still use some, like, grammar books and English translation, because that does help.
Interesting.
And I'm also learning Greek, too. Modern Greek.
Yeah.
Omorpho ala mikro. That's talking about your dick.
Oof. Beautiful but small.
Yes.
I'm like Michelangelo's David.
Yeah. It's like a sentence I learned in the text, and I'm like, oh, it sounds like that could be used for something else. I don't know if the stress is right, because I know they have, you know.
I think you said it right.
Okay, cool. But it's a cool language. It's a really nice language.
Hell yeah. Really nice language, really nice people. Really nice country. You know, maybe really we'll get more of it back when the whole of Europe declares war on Turkey.
One thing I noticed is that the sounds of Greek, they're very similar to Spanish.
Yes.
And yes. I watched a video that explained why they sound so similar.
Oh.
Because, like, one reason, there's multiple, but one of them is that pretty much most of the symbols in Greek, kind of like Spanish, end in a vowel. The syllables. Did I say syllables, mm-hmm. or did I say symbols? Did I say syllable?
You said, I think you said symbol, but... Or,
gosh.
It doesn't matter.
Yeah, but you know what I mean.
Yeah.
So, like, when you have a syllable, it usually ends in a vowel. Well, that's not always the case in English. Like, we, like,
so
English.
So what about,
itself.
Like, Greek and Latin?
Does it
sound more like Spanish?
Does Latin sound like more like Spanish?
No, does Greek sound more like Spanish than Latin?
Yeah, yeah, it does, for sure.
Huh.
Because it's, I mean, Latin, we do, I don't know if we know exactly what it sounded like, but we have what I think what people think it sounded like, kind of passed down through generations. There's like two pronunciations for Latin. There's the classical, which is kind of, you know, the height of Rome. And then you have the ecclesiastical pronunciation, which is like what they use in, you know, the Catholic Church, like at Latin Mass. That's more influenced by modern Italian pronunciation.
Hmm.
So, like, when they say, you know, the phrase from Caesar, I believe, they say, vidi, vidi, vici, whatever the fuck.
Vidi, vini, vici.
Yeah, something I don't even
know. Or vedi?
I don't know, man. Let me see. I should look this up.
Vini, vedi, vici.
Vini. Okay. Veni, vidi, vici. That's how, like, you would kind of say it in an ecclesiastical way. But, like, in classical, it would be more like veni, vidi, vici. Like, the V is kind of like a W, and the C is always like a K sound. So when you say Caesar, it's Kaiser. Or Kaiser, like in German. Kaiser. Kaiser.
Kaiser.
Yeah, Kaiser! Mm.
That proves it.
Kaiser rats.
The emperor is Jewish.
Yes. But, like, that was like a moment where my mind was just like blown. I'm like, oh crap.
Whoa!
If you say
it's more like German.
Well, no, it's from the It's obviously from Latin. They took it from Latin.
I know.
But it's like, it's just like my mind blown. It's like, oh crap. This is literally Kaiser, whatever you would say it in Latin. Yeah. Latin's cool.
Have you ever played Fallout New Vegas?
Nope.
Any of the Legionnaires, if you talk to them, they'll introduce it. They'll say, Awe, true to Kaisar, instead of Ave.
Yeah. Yeah, like Salve. Like, hello.
But it's interesting because, like, different voice actors in the game will refer to it differently. So you'll have some people say Kaisar's Legion, or other people will say Caesar's Legion.
Oh, okay.
But, it just shows the multiplicity of pronunciations. I guess, is that like a dialect difference, technically?
No, it's just a pronunciation.
Well, isn't that what makes a dialect?
No, there's a lot involved. No, it's not really. It's usually a combination of vocabulary difference and even syntax difference.
Well, that's actually what we just call dumb niggas. when you're like using wrong syntax. Okay, it's like, it's not a dialect, it's wrong.
Like there's different grammar. Like,
Come on, bro. You make an excuse for dumb niggas?
Maybe.
Like, how'd that be?
Yeah. Well, it's like you go in Germany, like the dialects are... I mean, I don't know the exact definition of a dialect. This is not my area of interest, but... It's kind of more of like a... Like, it's a... I feel like it has to do more than just pronunciation. You know?
I feel like places where, like, dialects probably are the most valid are, like, China.
And in Germany, to an extent. But everyone uses the Hochdeutsch, as they call it. But the local dialects are... I mean, I guess they're mutually intelligible, but they sound and they're very different, and their vocabulary is actually sometimes very different. They have like
specific... what's a word that you would never use in Hochdeutsch?
Bayern dialect words, which you probably wouldn't learn. Varian language. Let's see. I mean, I don't know, because I only know Hochdeutsch. I don't know any dialects. In Bavaria, they say Servus for, hi. That means, like, in Latin, like, master. Servus. That's something they wouldn't use in, or Grüß Gott, which means may God greet you. And, like, Seidla, which is a half-liter beer mug. There's a bunch of weird stuff. Different peculiar words for each region.
Yeah, I guess, you know, I never call soda pop.
Yeah, that's like, I think that's more of like a some dialect of these niggas difference. Do. Yeah, that's like more of like a, what kind of makes it a dialect. Oh, I didn't know this. See, I know German, it's okay. I could read it and I could speak it somewhat with people. Dirndl is actually means girl in the Bavarian dialect.
Huh.
Whereas you would say das Mädchen for in Hochdeutsch. But Dirndl, that's what we also use. They use it too, but it also means like the festive dress that you see like at you know what Dirndl is, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, so like that's very different than Mädchen.
Girl wheat field, the whole deal.
Yeah. I mean there might
be
if
she's not in a Dirndl, you're settling.
Wow. I did not
I'm gonna
know
have
that,
you know, my deep tan Sicilian GF in a dirndl. Hey, but you know, it doesn't matter where you're from in the on the continent.
Yeah.
The dirndl's just got that aesthetic to it, bro. Can't go wrong. I promise you, if you get your girlfriend to wear one, you'll never see her the same way for the better.
Yeah, I hope that website wasn't lying to me, but if that's true, if Dirndl means girl in Bavarian dialect, then that's an example of just like a dialectical difference. Or a dialectal difference? I don't know.
Dialectical.
Yeah, getting Hegelian on us.
Yeah, Hegelian German.
Yeah, that's cool. Servus, because that's definitely a Latin word. That means like master.
Oh, yeah.
And that makes sense because they're in a Catholic area, and a lot of Germany was under Roman rule, as we all know. So there's vestiges of that. But I guess they kept it. Maybe that's. I wonder if that has to do with just probably the Catholic stuff.
Yeah,
I don't know. Languages are crazy. English,
true.
The dialects, we don't have as much or as many dialectical differences or dialectal differences like it is in Germany. I think they're more pronounced in German. And it's very pronounced in Arabic, where each dialect is essentially a language on its own. And they're not mutually intelligible. Like if someone, I don't think someone who speaks like Egyptian Arabic can understand someone who speaks Saudi Arabic. They're like, nigga, what you saying? What you saying? With that weird sound they make.
Yeah, like it's where they're like almost,
it's like you're choking like on a kebab.
Swallowing.
It's like you swallow the kebab the wrong way.
Remember that old like video from what is it, the debate championship from years ago?
From Towson University.
Yeah, home of Matt Heimbach.
Yeah, and they're like, Anna.
You know, they start doing gorilla breath.
So if you guys don't know what this video is, it's a it's from like 3 or 4 years ago. There is this debate team at Towson University, which is I believe in Maryland, and this debate team. It was like two black, very chubby, thick BBW black women, and they won a debate by literally just like making noises and kind of saying words.
They got very passionate.
It was like and a nigga. He does not know what he is, and it's like.
And they won.
And they literally won.
They fucking won. That was like one of the signs that shit was getting really bad.
And they got interviewed on like local news. These white people are like, oh, good job.
Congratulations. You've like won for the first time at your university. This, you know, the whole championship nationwide.
And the nigga don't understand the other generations. It's like literally that's what it was. You didn't know what the heck they were saying. It was like avant-garde.
Like if you've never seen something that convinces you it's a chimp out, watch that, and
yeah,
like you'll know.
It literally is a chimp out.
They say the nigga's always already queer. That's exactly the point. It means that the impact is that is an impact turn to the affair. That it is. And when the nigga sees these pains and suffering that he can only envision himself, that he does not see another nigga that he can feel sympathy for or embrace, but rather that otherness gets obliterated.
Because it's like the way she speaks and breathes, it's like it's literally apoietic. And that's the best word to describe it. I mean, am I wrong? <That's>
I choked on the air because it was funny. speaking of academia going nuts, I have something from Cambridge University Press.
Lay it on me, bro.
What?
I don't know if I'm ready.
This is the official journal of the APSA, organized section on women in politics research.
Oh boy!
So this is on Cambridge. This isn't like some random American university, you know. Meddling.
As if that makes it any worse.
I don't know. Okay, I'm not being homophobic. This isn't a title. Fag child. Okay, fag child tools. Softening the body. Let me finish the title.
Should I?
Fag child.
Do I want to let you finish?
I haven't read the whole thing, but...
Oh, God.
I don't think it has to do with children, gratefully. Fag child tools, softening the body politic and sexualizing Paul Ryan in a pussy-grabbing era.
What? What?
And get this. No, it's not even the best of it. It was written by Queer Jay Thomas.
Is that a title?
His name's Queer. That's his first name.
No, is that his, like, his title? Like, Mr. You just have Queer?
I don't know.
Is that...
I'm not calling him a queer. It's his name. Like, I'm calling him queer, like, but...
What is his name? Buttigieg, his husband. Yeah. You could call him Queer Chasen Buttigieg. instead of Mr. Chasen.
Just what I learned. I learned
honestly
that
the most ironic name ever.
Buttigieg is Maltese.
Yeah.
I didn't know that. Giving Malta a bad name.
An awful name. Malta is a trad country.
Yeah, dude. No wonder you left. They kicked you out, boy.
The Maltese are, like, great people.
But then this guy has to come in.
Yeah, no, this motherfucker. This faggot. So, do we want to talk about this article, or should we keep stalling?
We can read some of it. We don't have to read all the abstract. Okay. This article cautions against the strong impulse in the hashtag MeToo movement to desexualize politics. Informed by queer theory, the article argues that the public desexualization imperative, represented by indignation toward President Donald Trump's pussy-grabbing antics and the concomitant, albeit justified, movement to expose decades of his sexual harassment of women, casts a shadow across queer citizens that chills sexual expression in democratic discourse and public life. The public desexualization imperative presents a double bind that creates, on the one hand, public spaces that are less threatening and discriminatory to women, and on the other hand, public spaces that, from a queer, white, cisgender man's perspective, only whose marking is a sexuality, erase queer's value differences. Sorry, I got a little sidetracked. My dog was doing stupid stuff. The author uses personal narrative to describe and apply tools conceptualized as fag child tools that help.
What does that mean? why is the term fag child?
It helps navigate tensions between women's equality movements and queer efforts to gain fuller, more open sexual citizenship.
What?
The article focuses first on softening the body politic. My body politic's definitely soft. Implying a white, cisgender, heterosexual male body to provide sociopolitical space for sexual pluralism. Second article uses the sexualization of House Speaker Paul Ryan to argue that making space for queer sexualities may require accommodating the expression of non-queer sexualities, including those that most of us find offensive.
Are they just going to, like, refer to, like, Paul Ryan's P90X photos?
I don't know. Oh, yeah, Paul Ryan wasn't the one that was in the foam bath. That was Marco Rubio. I got confused for a second.
Yeah, no. have to queer that image, but they're going to try to queer Paul Ryan's, like, lifting pics.
So, like, they're talking about we may have to leave space for non-queer sexualities, even if it's offensive for us.
Oh, so, like, are they considering sexy Paul Ryan to be, like, the non-queer sexual politic?
Must be. I just said these words, I didn't try to understand them. Not that they were particularly hard.
Probably better that you didn't.
It was just that they were talking about something very stupid and gross.
Just,
oh, it has references.
Bro. Oh, jeez. Penetrated snake.
Fugitive faggotry, queer rage, and the limitations of equality. Queer sensibilities and other fag child tools in LGBTQ politics.
What is fag child?
I don't want to know.
What is a fag child
tool?
Don't
search it up. I'm not going to search it on Google.
You can't. It's illegal.
Yeah.
If you search for fag child tool, you're going to jail, yeah. And rightly so.
It's good. I don't know what it means. It's from a different guy. I don't want to know what it means.
Jeez.
What is a fag child? Why do they do that? That's gross. I mean,
just kill me.
One last one, just to make you feel a little better. I guess this is kind of positive. Since, you know, we all know that Nikkei is now the CEO of Tumblr, and some changes happened on Tumblr.
I took it in a hostile takeover.
Yeah, he made it pure. He took out the porn. This one's from the Journal of Porn Studies, which you've been on before. Purging the Queer Archive. Tumblr's counter-hegemonic pornographies.
That's what plays in my head as I'm imagining, like, you know, a fictional digital space where we just have the equivalent of a book burning,
yeah.
of the queer archives, as they say.
Oh, this brings me back. Didn't they have like a digital book burning of the Quran?
No.
Back in like 2011, like the atheists.
Oh. It wasn't like a digital book burning. They just like posted videos of their book burnings.
No, there was like this thing. It's like, okay, guys, we want you to like delete your download like a PDF of the Quran and then delete it and put it in your trash and empty the trash.
That's so Reddit.
Yeah, that's what they. I think they did that.
Was it like our atheism?
Yeah,
that is the gayest shit I've ever heard. Put it in your recycling bin and you're
Carl Sagan.
Carl Sagan
is my homeboy.
So brave.
Yeah. Let it.
Yeah.
Let it.
Here's another exclusion on listeners here. If you've ever had a Reddit account, you're not allowed to listen to the show.
All right, this is the last episode that I bet I'm going to be on.
You had a Reddit account?
Yeah.
You faggot.
How else was I going to post on R European?
Stop.
No, R European was good.
Don't post to Reddit.
Well, I did on r/European.
I don't even care what was on that board.
There was other ones too from very back in the day. They were very funny. Don't want to see the name, but
damn, I gotta make an exception to Redditors just to accommodate my own co-host.
Yeah, I mean, you didn't go on Coontown.
All right, Redditors, you still get to listen, but you're on fucking notice. You better not be posting anymore.
This one actually doesn't have an abstract. Is that also? I don't want to read the actual article, summarize it, because that would be very boring.
I wonder if any of these niggas think they super smart by, like, instead of calling it an abstract, they call it the concrete.
Oh.
It's like, here's the concrete of my essay.
Okay. I have this. I just like to shock Nikkei here and there. This is another from the Porn Studies journal. Breeding futures. Mess.
Wait. Did you say greeting or breeding?
Breeding.
Oh.
Breeding futures. Masculinity and the ethics of cum union in Treasure Island Media's Viral Loads. Written by Yao Florencio. With all those weird Portuguese things on his name.
It's like that. Totally unnecessary circumflex and tildes.
Yeah, dude, what's up with all these tildes?
I had this like really like old and like short teacher in high school. It was like for some math class. And everybody burst out laughing when she like drew one of them on the board and called it a tildo. She's like, so that's a tildo. And then everybody starts fucking laughing.
Oh my gosh, you're still talking about this. This is published, in March 2019, but still. Cucks, cuckolds, and their transgressions. And it talks about, like, the racist cuck memes and stuff like that. They're still talking about that.
Dude, they're making a whole movie called Cuck. Did you see this?
Yeah, I've heard of it. I haven't seen the trailer, but...
I haven't seen the trailer, but I read this thread. Some champion on Twitter.
He summarized the trailer because he didn't want to watch the pause.
No, he pirated the film. Uh-huh. And he, like, just explained the plot as he was... He basically live tweeted it. And now I know the whole story.
Yeah,
it's
like,
basically this guy is like, of it. Is just a freaking loser.
Mm-hmm.
And he gets red pilled on YouTube. And to make money, he gets into cuck porn, where he's the guy watching. and so like, eventually he starts his own red pill YouTube channel.
And he gets caught.
Yeah, he gets caught being a cuck porn star, whatever. And then everybody, like... He, like, makes friends with the guy who originally red-pilled him. And then, like, you know...
They discover he's a cuck, too.
No, I don't think he's the... I don't think that guy's a cuck. But he, like, disavows the protagonist... As a speaker in the movement, for being a cuck,
a literal cuck.
And then the guy like buys a gun and like he kills his mom, and like he kills other people.
Ugh.
I think at one point he starts shooting at police.
That's stupid. Stupid but movie.
It's just like an impotent rage flick.
Yeah.
Or this guy is like he's a loser. He doesn't do anything, and he just kills people because he's frustrated at his
and that's what losers
lack
do
of a
too.
Life. Yeah, losers just shoot at random fucking people.
Yeah, it's fucking
and
losers.
And they burn out in an embarrassing and non-memorable.
All right, we're back, and I found another article for Nikkei to laugh at. This is just a title.
Am I gonna laugh at it or am I gonna cry?
No, you're gonna laugh. Hashtags and hand wringings. Conversations on porn in Ireland.
Hand rubbing. Yeah. More like hand rubbing.
I'm thinking of Shlomo there.
Yeah. The happy merchant.
Yeah. Oh, okay, Ireland.
Ireland.
His name's literally queer. That guy's name was Queer J. Thompson. Or Thomas.
I wonder what the J stands for.
Just.
Yeah, like, just fuck my shit up.
Did he change his name? Who names their kid queer?
Parents that hate you. Like, parents who failed their abortion.
Yeah. There's no way his name's actually Queer J. Oh, it says so on ResearchGate.
Can you, like, click the link to his name and, like, see other... Is it a he? I'm gonna assume he.
Political science. He works at the political science department in Oshkosh, Wisconsin. Oshkosh Bagosh.
Yeah, he works at the child's clothing store.
Of course, because what was the thing called? Fag child?
Fag child tools.
Yeah.
That's term. Fag child tools.
That's like... That's gross.
That's fucking weird. And it's gross. And I hate it.
I don't want to know about fag child tools.
Yeah, no. I don't either. Why are they doing this to us?
I don't know.
Why? What do we do to deserve this? We didn't do shit, man! We don't fucking deserve this.
Man.
don't fucking deserve this.
This is what's going on. We got people named Queer Hunter Queer S. Thompson.
Yeah, Queer Hunter S. Thompson. Hunter S. Thompson, but he's gay.
And not a so he's still libertarian.
Yeah.
Never really got into him.
Hunter S. Thompson.
I never got into him because his big book was Fear and Loathing in Las Vegas. Isn't that about drugs?
I don't even know what it's about.
They have an acid trip in Vegas, and that's like what it's about.
I couldn't give a shit about that story. Yeah. It's like referenced a lot, and you know what? I don't care.
Yeah.
It just seems stupid. It does. I've never been convinced that it would add anything to my life.
Yeah, it's just, it talks about there's two guys that go chase the American dream through a drug-induced haze.
Sounds gay.
It sounds very gay. Do you have any other articles? I mean, like, should I change my shirt? Should I wear the Dominion or the Bob?
For today? I don't know. Today is definitely a Bob kind of day.
Oh, why?
Well, SpongeBob perpetuates racist violence against indigenous people, according to one professor.
Oh!
So, Führer SquarePants is an insidious, violent, and racist cartoon, according to a professor named Holly Barker. Sounds very, you know, indigenous to me.
Yeah, it's like a very indigenous name. It's like
at the University of Washington.
Literally like the widest basic bitch name you could ever think of for a
yeah,
girl.
It's like Bob Barker's granddaughter.
Yeah.
Holly. In the journal called the Contemporary Pacific, a journal of island affairs. The article is entitled Unsettling SpongeBob and the Legacies of Violence on Bikini Bottom.
Dude. This is on the University of Hawaii Press. I can read the abstract if you don't want it. It's probably better than some.
Yeah, no, I mean,
21-year-old on campus reform trying to sum it up.
Celine Ryan. We always come back to you, Celine.
Let me just read their abstract real quick.
Yeah, yeah.
Billions of people around the globe are well acquainted with SpongeBob SquarePants and the antics of the title character and his friends on Bikini Bottom. By the same token, there is an absence of public discourse about the whitewashing of violent American military activities through SpongeBob's occupation and reclaiming of the bottom of Bikini Atoll's lagoon.
SpongeBob Imperium.
What, is there an episode where he like imperializes a place called Bikini Atoll? I don't know.
So the thing about the location is like Bikini Bottom is located at the Bikini Atoll, which is like where they had the nuclear bomb test. You know, the famous video of like the bomb blowing up on the water.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, that's called Bikini Atoll, where they did the tests. And so this is like Bikini Bottom, which is, you know,
like radioactive.
Yeah, it's like life. never explained that's the case, but it's, you know, it's headcanon.
Oh, wow. Bro.
Yeah, it's like a valid fan theory.
Yeah.
So childhood ruined, childhood expanded, you decide.
Expanded, that's pretty cool.
Dong expanded.
SpongeBob SquarePants and his friends play a role in normalizing the settler colonial takings of indigenous lands while erasing the ancestral Bikinian people from their nonfiction homeland.
Bikinian people. Imagine.
This article
was actually the article of clothing, I think, was invented by a Frenchman.
Bikini?
Yes.
Oh, yeah, of course.
Who was visiting the place.
And I would like to say thank you for that invention.
Yes. You are a real nigga, bro.
Yeah.
One good thing the French have ever done.
Yeah.
Nah, I kid the French, as Ray William Johnson would say.
As Ray William Johnson would say, doing your mom.
He'd also say that.
And squirrel AIDS or something like that.
Yeah, squirrel AIDS.
Surprise squirrel AIDS. Or
back in that age of internet humor. Squades.
This article exposes the complicity of popular culture in maintaining American military hegemonies in Oceania while amplifying the enduring indigeneity of the Marshallese people who maintain deeply spiritual and historical connections to land, even land they cannot occupy due to residual radiation contamination from U.S. nuclear weapons testing.
Fuck yeah, sounds cool as shit.
Through a range of cultural practices, including language, song, and weaving. Oh, that's what they do. They talk about that shit through. Okay, that was worded weirdly. This article also considers the gendered violence of nuclear colonialism and the resilience of the Marshallese women. What does that have to do with SpongeBob?
Jinx.
What does that have to do with SpongeBob? There's a bikini in people? I want to know about that.
Isn't it not like... It wasn't... It was underwater. The bikini atoll test. Like, I get it.
No,
it,
no, like, but like...
You know, left fallout and, like, the sand and other, you know, radioactive waste. But it's like... These people couldn't survive?
Like... Ah.
I mean, maybe, but... It's... It seems exaggerated.
That place looks spooky. It's just like a ring. Oh, wait, is that the crater from the bomb?
No, dude.
No, it says the crater can be seen on the northwest cape of the atoll, adjacent to Namu Island. Oh, okay, that's just like a picture of the hole on some atoll.
Yeah.
Okay. Wait, did they just, like, literally bomb the shit? Or they bombed it, like, in the middle of the, like, the...
So they put the bomb underwater.
Uh-huh.
And they had, like, test boats, like, dummy vessels around it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, full-size things just for test firing. And so they detonated the bomb underwater just to, you know, conduct tests, you know, take notes, see what it would do to ships. And just threw this huge column of water straight up into the air. And, you know...
Left it, huge like when, like when you tell a girl you like Minecraft and like a huge column of water just goes...
Yeah, straight into the air. Yeah, like a whole Minecraft column of water.
Bruh.
Here's a really cool colorized photo of the test.
So people actually lived on the atoll?
Yeah, I guess. I mean, it was mostly... I'm sure there were more military people there than natives.
It was like 5 people? Because how many people could fit on there?
Who knows?
Oh, the population was relocated in 1948.
Population. 5 caretakers.
Yeah.
Imagine living on an island with 5, just 4 other people.
I would hate that. Bruh. Polynesia, like those areas.
I hope they would be cool people. Like, imagine, like, 4 other dorks on the island. That'd be annoying.
This is crazy, just a lot of the Polynesian and, like, islander stuff. It's they live on, like, little islands.
As of March 2016, there are 5,400 living Bikini Islanders, 800 islanders living on Kili, 2,550 on Majuro, 300 on
Manjaro.
Egypt, and 350 on other Marshall Islands.
450 living on Manjaro Linux.
And 1,488 in the United States and other countries. of that number, 25 lived on Bikini in 1946.
Oh, it's like nobody.
So there's 25 people who even lived on that island. Maybe they weren't even born there.
They probably just like floated there.
It's like they got adrift on a canoe.
Yeah, it's like, oh shit.
And wound up there.
It's a part of the greater Marshall Islands.
Yeah. There's like some dude listening who's like whose ideology is like he's a greater Marshall Islandist. Reunify the Marshall Islands, and thank God we're finally getting mentioned. Yeah, a Marshall Island irredentist. It's like, this one's for you, bro.
Yeah.
We're shining some light onto your own plight.
Unite all 2,000 Marshallians under one flag. Or Marshallese, sorry.
Polynesian Reich.
Yeah. I think that's just, I always thought that was crazy. Yeah,
there's like probably like, other splinter groups. Like there's the Pan Polynesians, and then there's the independent, like,
yeah,
the nationalists. You know, ones who say we need a united Polynesian imperium, and the others who are just, you know, like hard Samoan nationalists who hate Tahitians and...
Yeah, yeah.
You know,
Tongans who hate Cook Islanders.
Tongans, yeah.
Yeah, I just always thought Polynesia was this great, like, just these are little islands the size of like a city or something, and people live here. It's spooky.
Dude, it's crazy, man. It's like, what possesses man to find these like remote ocean islands?
Yeah.
Like, it's not just like Mediterranean islands where
it's like
have easy access to the mainland. It's like isolation.
Yeah.
Isolation.
It's crazy. Hawaii. Okay, so I'm learning about, like, what is Polynesia? Like, what's considered Polynesia? There's Micronesia.
Yeah.
There's Melanesia, like, for the melanin types.
Yeah.
Well, they are dark. Like, people from Vanuatu are dark.
Yeah, they're dark skin.
So... Yeah, and there's I didn't even know New Zealand was considered Polynesian.
It is.
Yeah. So, hey, you need New Zealanders, you guys.
NZs.
NZs, you guys are part of the Greater Polynesian Reich.
I mean, the capital of the Greater Polynesian Reich will be Wellington.
Yeah.
That's the basis of power in the region.
Lord of the Rings is their triumph of the will.
Exactly. Now, Polynesian man, you know, will be restored to greatness. It's quite similar to my master's thesis on Hawaiian neo-reactionary movements.
Mm-hmm.
And restorationism.
Hawaiian monarchy restorationism.
Bring back Kamehameha.
Yeah. Dude, I bet you all the Dragon Ball Z niggas are going to be like, yeah, do that, please.
Yeah, bro! Kamehameha!
They should go there and, like, correct him. It's actually not Kamehameha. It's Kamehameha!
Yeah.
That's some weird... Like, why the heck did that they choose... The House of Kamehameha for a freaking attack in Dragon Ball.
I have no idea. It's probably just people translating and being like, you know, what do we want to, like, you know, do about this in English? Because the way it was originally animated, we have a whole bunch of syllables here that we need to fill in.
Well, I think it's Kamehameha in Japanese, too.
Oh. Well... That brings up an interesting relationship because the Japs, you know, as we all know from World War II, feel claims to Hawaii, and they even have a significant percentage of the population Japanese.
There's a lot of Japanese over there.
You know, not even just Hawaiian, but like straight up Japanese people.
Yeah, no, there's a big Japanese diaspora in Hawaii.
So,
Hawaii.
It could be that connection. Maybe like the guy who animated Dragon Ball originally was a Japanese Hawaiian.
I don't think so. Akira Toriyama. I don't think he was a Japanese Hawaiian. Maybe there was like, since, you know, there are a lot of Japanese over there, there's probably a lot of talk in Japan.
Yeah, about maybe Hawaii. It was inspired by it or something. Maybe went on vacation there and like learned the history and wanted to.
It's like, that sounds like a power move.
I mean, I'll give him credit. That had like staying power, and that was like the brand. Everybody knew Kamehameha.
Yeah.
Like, people know that.
And the Aties, so, like, start doing that at each other at the park playground.
Before there was, like, Naruto running.
Yeah.
And before there was, like, you know, Harry Potter spells that you would shout, there was Kamehameha. Niggas trying to go Super Saiyan on camera. It all comes back to Dragon Ball Z. It's like we had established in a previous episode that Dragon Ball Z is Nietzschean.
Because
there's an eternal return to Dragon Ball Z on this show.
And there's also Zoroastrian.
Yes.
I mean, Nietzsche wrote, "Also sprach Zarathustra," or "Thus spoke Zarathustra," and their ending song is like, what is it? Something Zarathustra?
Yes, we theorize that the Z stands for Zarathustra.
And
Dragon Ball Zarathustra.
We jokingly theorize that, but the ending song.
The ending song is like called that.
So we're like, oh crap!
It's a Nietzschean show. If you think about the villains, they are very Nietzschean.
Yeah, it's
what I think Vegeta is a sort of Nietzschean.
What? Some say that it's actually from Japanese, meaning turtle destruction wave.
Wait, what?
Because turtle is Kame. And I think in Dragon Ball Z, they have, like, the House of Kame. And then Ha means wave. I don't know.
Oh, shit! What?
Let's see. Dragon Ball Z wiki.
If it's not actually, like, the name of the Hawaiians.
Oh, okay. No, someone told Akira Toriyama it'd be easy to remember the name of the attack if you use the name of the cultural Hawaiian king named Kamehameha. And it's probably like they probably chose it because it's probably like a pun on like Kame, like in, you know, it's like, or it has Kame in it. And so they're like, oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Which means, I guess, turtle or whatever. In
Dude, that's really cool.
No, dude, Japanese are very smart
people. It's a pun. No, it's a Japanese pun.
It's a pun, like, because Hame means destruction or ruin, and Ha means wave. So turtle destruction wave.
Yeah, that's basically what you're doing.
Kame, Hame, Ha! Turtle destruction wave. Whoa. I should learn Japanese just for that little thing.
Man.
That's crazy.
People are so creative.
No, the Japanese are...
I had Japanese food today, actually. I went to a Japanese restaurant.
Oh, yeah. Those things are good.
It was like American-inspired dishes that I ate.
American-inspired?
And also fried rice. So, like, they had this, like, interesting little... I could best describe it as, like, inspired by Rangoons.
Uh-huh.
So Rangoons are, like, you know, these little... pastry,
yeah, like wonton
filled with
people also call
it's like
wonton.
A wonton filled with like cream cheese
and they like deep fried
crab meat. Well, was like it was like sort of breaded crab meat with like cream cheese filling in the middle and deep fried. Oh, it was so good.
Was it one of those izakaya places?
No, it's an independent place.
Yeah, well, izakaya is just a type of Japanese restaurant.
What does that mean?
It's an informal Japanese pub, casual places for after work eating. It's kind of like...
This is sort of up... It felt upscale. I mean, it had a nice atmosphere, but it was sort of like diner tier. But yeah. It had a bar. I guess you could call it a pub.
Well, the izakaya, it's, I guess, like, beer is a big part of it, but they also give you, like, small. Like, you order, like, a bunch of small things. Like, okay, I'll order some, this eggplant right here. I'll order,
they
okay.
gave me a whole big plate of fried rice. It was, like, almost a bowl full. Like, yeah. A large bowl of fried rice. In that sense, I think it was more dinerish.
Oh, okay.
Since, like, big portions.
Yeah, you just get like a whole bunch of little stuff. Like you get, oh, I get some.
But you could also order sushi there.
Yeah.
Sushi. I had a.
I had sushi yesterday.
Oh yeah, was it good?
Yeah, I didn't get any raw fish. It was at a tempura roll, shrimp tempura roll. And I had an eel roll. It was really good.
Won't eat raw. Sushi.
I have. I like it.
I tried a new Japanese beer while I was there. It's called a Kirin Ichiban.
Oh, I think I've heard of that.
And it was pretty good. I had my favorite Japanese beer yesterday, which is called Orion. It's actually Okinawan.
Oh.
I think they like to distinguish themselves from the rest of Japan.
Yeah. No, I think they really do.
It's a really good beer. Yeah. But the Kirin Ichiban, I don't know what exactly they make it with. But it was very tasty.
And I would recommend it. Yeah, no. They have good food. I like it better than Korean food, I'll say that for sure.
Really?
Yeah.
I think I like Korean food better.
Oh, man. Sorry about that.
What do you like about it more?
I don't know. It's just Korean food is just not my thing. I can't... Never really tried to explain it why. The Korean food's just, it's all that, you know, kimchi and a lot of fermented kind of stuff and pickled stuff.
He doesn't like kimchi, bro.
I don't really like kimchi that much. I like some of the other pickled vegetables, but I just like, you know, like a big chunk of salmon or something, you know, like you get at a Japanese restaurant. You know,
yeah, nice.
And there are these things steak. Called, I always forget the name. They're like these kind of, I guess they're kind of similar to donuts, but that can give you the wrong idea about them. It's like a kind of dough ball, and in the middle they have a piece of octopus. It's really good. It's called, it's the octopus ball.
Octoballs.
Japan. Takoyaki. There you go. Search that up. They're really good. And they put
takoyaki.
Yeah.
Like a Francis Parker takoyaki.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I've had like a different version of this where it's like they serve it in a bag.
You see how they put the bonito flakes on top?
Grocery stores. The bonito flakes.
Yeah.
The Mussolini.
Oh, yeah.
Mussolini flakes.
They're like fish flakes.
Like, what's a fish flake?
I'm trying to think. Okay. It's dried.
Bonito.
Dried, fermented, and smoked skipjack tuna.
Huh.
Like, shreds. Like, little thin, paper thin.
Interesting. It's like the...
And they like
caro,
dance.
Caro bonito, huh?
Yeah, and they like dance.
Interesting.
because they're so paper thin, they like react very easily, like the temperature, and then they dance on top of the takoyaki. It's kind of creepy.
Huh. That's strange.
Oh, I didn't know it was tuna. I knew it was like some sort of fish something. No, yeah. It kind of looks like, you know, when you're sharpening your pencil and they have the leftovers. That's what it looks
yeah.
like.
Yeah.
Little pencil things, shavings.
Pencil shavings on your food. Now you're just ruining it.
That's what it looks like.
Making it sound gross.
Hey, you know what's also good that the Orientals do?
What's that?
Mother...
Not letting in Jews?
That, but also... I just made me lose my train of thought. Because you said Jews.
Jews.
Oh, putting like really roasted hurt. Sesame seeds on things.
Yeah, sesame seeds.
Or toasted, sorry.
Oof. MVP of dishes, sesame seeds.
Honestly, I went to this like, Asian restaurant and they
had
this like...
You want to like raise the bar? Put freaking sesame seeds on it?
Or if you have like a sesame sauce... not tahini, which is really good. Maybe like an Asian tahini, because tahini is made out of sesame seeds, right?
Yes.
So like I had it at this, I think it was Japanese restaurant, some like noodle place, and they gave us some sesame sauce. It was almost somewhat reminded me of like a peanut butter sauce you get like at a Thai food place. But just sesame seeds are so good. Unbelievable. Not as good as tahini, though. When I went to the Japanese restaurant in the parking structure, some obviously white guy parked. I mean, I assume he was white. It was like this pickup truck. It was parked and in the parking structure, and had a whole bunch of stickers that said like "I support the First Amendment" and like "Black guns matter" or something like that. And
that's a strong boomer one.
Yeah, and then like you see these two liberals, like you could tell this fat guy, they're like in their 60s, so they're definitely boomers themselves.
Yeah,
they like this fat guy with his lesbian looking wife, like they look like college professors, and they just stare at the truck utterly scared and offended because he like had pro, you know, Second Amendment things on his truck.
Yeah.
And he's another sticker said, "If this flag offends you, then leave." And I guess they were offended, and so they left his truck. Shocked. They were like, it's like they saw a murder or something. It's like they saw like Tub Girl for the first time. But it was
oh
just...
no. No, not Tub Girl.
It's like they were shocked.
Bruh. I hate how vividly I can recreate that image in my mind.
I know.
Disgusting.
Was there anything else you want to talk about?
No. Not anymore.
Tub Girl, all these things.
Dude, I think we've discussed this in detail before, but that was
part of the ruination of
our generation.
After I eat Korean food.
Ugh!
Mine is it going in my face. I mean, I come from the Japanese, but then all of a sudden, like, they do something like that.
Stop.
All right, well, my name is Zango. With me and my good friend, Nikkei.
Is a very good and disgusted friend, Nikkei, in my head. Thank you for listening.
And Bikini Bottom, right? Power. Worldwide.
Seek Heil!
Seek Heil! I can't do a SpongeBob voice. Come on.
Thank you for listening. If you want to give us young lads some help, send us some Bitcoin. Our BTC address is in the description. See you next week.